The reading is from the Message version of Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, the test. Next, Jesus was taken into the world by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared the test by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test. Since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these doughs into loaves of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. For the second test, the devil took him to the holy city. He sat him on top of the temple and said, "Since you are God's son, jump." Then the devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91. "He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy. Don't you dare test the Lord your God. For the third test, the devil took him to the peak of a huge mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out all the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were. Then he said, "They're yours, lock, stock and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me and they're yours." Jesus' refusal was curt. "Beat it, Satan." He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." The test was over. The devil left, and in his place, angels. Angels came back and took care of Jesus' knees. This is the word of the Lord.
Maddie, that was brilliant. Thank you so much for reading that so clearly. Right. Who knows what this is? Shout it out. Sat-nav. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10 holding up your fingers, I want to know how you feel about sat-navs. 1 is quite negative, 10 is you love them. What do we feel about sat-nav? That's really interesting. Loads of 10s and quite a few 1s. I didn't see too many, 1 or 2, but not many in the middle. Now, of course, sat-navs maybe 5 or 10 years ago were a little bit iffy. Anyone else ever end up in the middle of a field with their sat-nav? I have, and trying to drive across a river and things like that, or a road that just doesn't exist anymore. However, sat-navs have become a lot more reliable. And I don't know about you, I don't actually use a machine anymore. I just use Google Maps on my phone, which is being updated minute by minute, and it's really quite reliable. But I don't know about you, but I still have this feeling sometimes that I think I can do better than the sat-nav. Anyone else a little bit competitive sometimes? I heard a story of somebody, it's actually a vicar, not a vicar that we know in this parish, I have to say, a vicar who, when he was going anywhere, even to the shops or somewhere he knew exactly how to get there, would set his sat-nav every single time, just so that he could see if he could get there quicker than the sat-nav was saying it would take him to get there. And he would do it by taking some shortcuts, or by going down just a slightly different route, or by finding that the traffic wasn't quite as bad as they thought it was when they were updating the sat-nav. I don't know if you have ever felt like that. So I said on Wednesday, we began at the season of Lent. Traditionally, it's 40 days. It's actually, if you count the days in your diary, slightly more, because in the tradition of the church, Sundays are celebration days. So it's 46 days, which counts 40 days and 6 Sundays. And it's 40 days because that's how long Jesus spent in the desert, as Maddie's just read to us, in the wilderness. And so we try and sort of remember that period as we think about Lent. And if you remember, at the end of that 40 days, Jesus is not eaten. He has been on his own. He is quite broken. And the devil comes and tempts him 3 times. And he says these different things. He says, turn these stones into bread. Now, if you hadn't eaten for 40 days and you knew that that it was possible, you had power to turn stones into bread, well, I don't know that I would be able to resist. But that was the temptation that Jesus had to resist. The second one, you've been on your own. You've been alone in this wilderness, this harsh environment for 40 days. Why don't you do something that means the angels will come and swarm around you and give you comfort and company and make you feel better? And again, Jesus doesn't do what the devil tempts. And thirdly, the devil says, look at all this, people and kingdoms, this is all mine. But you know what? If you just bow to me, you can have it. It's yours. And again, Jesus doesn't do what he is tempted to do. And the thing that is common to all of these three temptations is that they are shortcuts. So the sat-nav, or God, has said, this is the way you need to go. God has called Jesus into the wilderness. He's called him to be there. But the devil is saying, no, look, here's an easier way. You're going to get there quicker. And especially that last temptation, the one where the devil says, bow down to me and it's all yours. The devil is saying, you know you've got a tough path ahead of you. You know that you've got to do this difficult ministry, and you know that that is going to end in pain and agony. Of course, Jesus is on his way to the cross, and we think about that at Good Friday and all that happened there. And the devil is saying, there's no need for all of that. You don't need to do that. Just come and worship me, and it'll be sorted. That's the kind of shortcut, isn't it, that we want to go on when we're trying to beat the sat-nav. And yet we know now that they're more reliable, and perhaps we ought to go the way that we're told. Because we know that we are fully human, sometimes it's not always easy to go the right way. But because we know Jesus was fully human and he managed it, we know it's possible. So we don't have to give up. The joy is that we make mistakes, and God knows that and forgives us. It's not joyful that we make mistakes, but that God forgives us in that. And so this Lent, I want to ask you, what are the shortcuts that you are being tempted to make? You know the way that you really should be going, and actually there's a quicker way. Are we looking for our identity and our self-esteem in what we do for a living? Are we looking for comfort and love in the wrong places? Whatever it is for you, where is God asking you to follow the map, to follow his way, to follow the instructions, and not go one other way, the shortcut way? The wonderful thing is that Jesus did all of that, did all of his ministry. He did the time in the wilderness and all that happens on Good Friday simply because he loves every single one of us deeply, passionately, and unceasingly. And I think all this comes together in another video that we're going to show you now. So have a look at this.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great you are. Affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh.
And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for this opportunity, this time to think about how we live life. And Lord Jesus, we want to say, help. I'm not sure I can keep from taking the shortcuts, and I need your help. And so, Lord, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters, your strength, your resilience, your courage, and your peace as we seek each of us to follow your way and follow your example. Would you meet us this Lent as we seek to do your will and to resist those things that might tempt us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And also, Lord, we want to pray for those around the world who find themselves in wilderness situations, those who feel abandoned, those who feel alone, those who feel like there's no solution. And Lord, we ask you to be close to those people today and throughout this Lent. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.